Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you lead it on when I'm falling down? Now the tears
All right, folks, this is James McCormick with Continue Mission, and how the heck's it going? What a week it's been, right? You know, we had a pretty good week last week. We had a great guest that came on running for Congress, a Green Beret. You know, what a great guy. Christian Castelli. You know, you think about some of the things that he said last week, and that's pretty amazing, some of the things that he said and some of the things that he has done has been just absolutely amazing for this country. And folks, I'll tell you, we better do something really quick in this country because we're getting to a point to where it's, you know, we may get to a point to where it's almost not recoverable. There is a group that is out there that are trying their darndest, you know, to turn this nation into this, you know, into this nation of socialism and just, you know, wokeism. And I'm going to talk about a thing. We're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. But one thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about how there is a movement within the LGBTQ community to stop using the word pedophile. Now, to stop using the word pedophile and to instead call them a minor attracted person. Now, we've already got a time where people can self-identify. If you want to self-identify as a giraffe, you can self-identify as a dang giraffe right now. You can self-identify, you know, as a non-binary llama, if you want to. And I think there's even stickers and things that you put on your car that says you're non-binary, which whatever the heck. I mean, listen, I went to school where you were either he or she. There's no shim. You didn't get to change that. Now, some people go through and they do sex changes and they do all these things. Okay, that's up to you to do that. I'm not trying to stop you from doing that. But what I am going to try to do is stop you from pushing that on children and on college campuses and on anywhere where you get federal funding. Your ass should not be able to push that stuff. Excuse my language, but that's just where we're at with it today. I watched this thing on Tucker Carlson, and it was with Father Calvin Robinson, and he is one of the last of the Anglican priests in the UK that's fighting against wokeism that's going on, and he came out. He says, you know, he was asked, well, what's the minor attracted person? He said, this is singly the most evil thing that's coming down the pike. Because when you change the name from pedophile, which that's what they are, pedophiles, to a minor attracted person, and you allow them to change the name, then they become a class of citizen. Then they become a group of citizens who can now claim that this is their right to do this. This is their right to have sexual intercourse or sexual relations, children under the age of 12. Now think about that. We're not talking about a 17-year-old boy and an 18-year-old girl or an 18-year-old boy and a 21-year-old girl. We're not talking about that. You know, we've seen that. We're talking about 50 and 60-year-old men with kids prepubescent under the age of 12. They want to be called a minor attracted person. So then they get the status as a minority, and then they get the status so that they can be protected. So if you go out and you're from doing that, you've all become, again, the favorite word in this country now is a bigot, racist, sexist, whatever. And really, it comes down to this. Evil has planted itself in the middle of these people that are doing this. And look, Democrat Party, you need to clean your party up. You really do. It's a mess right now. It's a train wreck. It's a disaster. Y'all like abortion so much and stuff like that. Obviously you do, because that whole party has become just one major abortion in this country. A horrible, disastrous. My grandmother, who was an FDR Democrat from a child up, lived through the Depression, and all of my uncles that fought in World War II, you know, and my grandfather and all of them, if they were alive today, they wouldn't have anything to do with you all, because that's not the party that they belong to. You see, they belong to a group that believed in prayer. They believed in unity. They believed in helping a person up with a hand up, not a hand out. If you go look back to what FDR did during the Depression, most of those programs were not give-me's. They were government jobs. You went to work, you earned it, you know, with the Civilian Conservation Corps or with the WPA or with whatever other government-run organization or what. Now, it was dangerously close to socialism, okay, but it was needed at the time, and it worked. But the point is you didn't create a bunch of moochers with that. They also didn't have a problem calling a pedophile a pedophile. I think back then they called you child rapist is what they called you. And they generally, it was bad for you when you got caught doing that. You were lucky if you made it to the jail. This is the kind of stuff that people are calling normal today. And listen, I don't know how you can sit in a church, call yourself a Christian, and support any of this stuff. So please don't call me with the hallelujahs and how I should just turn my eye, blind eye to all of this sin and all of this stupidity that's going on, because I'm not the one anymore. You know, I used to be very fair, and I'm still very fair, and I will listen, try to have a civil conversation. But if you come at me and you try to normalize pedophilia, you try to normalize an invasion of this country by people that, look, I just called because we're wanting to drive into Canada, okay? We want to cross over into Niagara Falls. Look, if you don't have, you have to, 72 hours, we have to arrange before we can go into that country. Why is it so hard for us to do it in America? Why is it so difficult? And why are some of you people that took an oath to this nation, to defend this nation against all enemies, foreign and domestic, why in the love of God Almighty are you rolling over and giving up on your very oath? Because these people have convinced you that just because we say you should get a job, you should go to work, you should immigrate here legally, we will welcome you, don't molest children, because we will jail you for it. In some countries, they hang you for it. And some of them are socialist countries. So all you socialists that are pushing this pedophile agenda, just remember that. Eventually, the government, if you get what you want, will take over, and you'll get somebody in there and say, nah, just string them up, because they do that. Try that over in Iran. Try that over in Afghanistan. Try that over in some of these other countries and let them catch you. It's not going to work out too good for you. Student loan repayback. We're going to have Father Michael's going to give us a good discussion on what's going on down on the border. Student loan repayback. I am not mad at you all for getting your student loans paid off. I'm not. I am upset with government because they're making you into a moocher, and you're not earning it. So So when I say this, let me just go on, and I'm not going to tiptoe around any of your feelings tonight, so just go on and call in, cuss me out. I don't care. I've put up this. I've been on this radio show for many years, so I can deal with it. Here's the deal. I was talking to some folks on social media and said, look, I said, we got the GI Bill, but we earned it. You know, we didn't just go take out a loan and do nothing and just go to school. In my case, I went to war twice. I was gunshot three different times. I lost friends. I lost birthdays. I lost time with my children that I'll never get back. And I stayed in there for 22 years. 3%, folks, of this country defends the other 97%. 3%. 3%. So I want you to understand that. 3% of this country defends 97% of you that do not serve. We pay in blood, sweat, tears, and time to earn that. When I first went in, I paid $100 a month for my GI Bill. Now, if the government wants to give you a way out, and if all you that like to get on social media and say, can't believe it, what a big crybaby, they're just mad because they ain't getting the free stuff. I'm not mad because I'm not getting the free stuff. I'm upset because you are making this country weak, wimpy, wishy-washy. What's going to happen when the next 9/11 occurs or the next Pearl Harbor? Half of you all will be too confused, don't know which bathroom to use, don't know whether to stand or to squat, that you won't want to go serve your country. You've been so used to sitting on your duff for X number of years and getting everything handed to you. You're going to line up like they did during World War II to go fight the enemy that's attacked this country? I'd say not. I'd say it'll be old farts like me. Old farts like those that fought the last 20 years while many of you sat on your duffs and did nothing. Glad you did. I'm glad we got doctors. Glad we got educated people. But I would rather have educated and responsible people. So let me just back this up a little bit. Pay off your student debts. Fine. But you go out and you earn that $20,000. Just like they did during the FDR years. You can go and work in a state park. You can go and volunteer your time in a local mission. You can go and become a volunteer firefighter. You can go and you could become a forester. You could do something to earn that $20,000. But some of you will cuss me out and say, listen to that fascist. Listen to that fascist. How dare that fascist tell us to get off of our ass and go get a job? How dare that fascist tell us to do that? Dare that fascist say these things? You love using the word fascist. This Antifa movement is the epitome of fascism and terrorism. Let me tell you what you Antifa guys and gals are. You're greasy, you're slimy, and you're lazy. You like to sneak around, throw rocks in windows, burn people's houses down in their buildings and their businesses. Half of you, I've seen some of you out there, look like you haven't taken a bath in a week. Bath, haircut, shave, make something out of yourself, seriously, and change your dress code. Whatever happened to decency anymore? Going out dressed like you got some sense. Going out looking like somebody besides what's something that the dog drug in. Because nowadays, I see this clown up in Pennsylvania. He's up there campaigning against Dr. Oz, and he's wearing shorts and a hoodie, looking like something that just was pulled out of a duffel bag. Come on, man. Are you serious? But that's what it seems that people like. They like that grungy look. I think they call that the grunge look. Well, maybe that's fine for some of you. But for some of us, or for most of us, or at least those of us that have the companies and the businesses that could give you a job, okay, we want you to show up and to be dressed properly, act properly, and conduct yourself like a human being. So you want the free college money? Fine, go earn it. You don't have to join the military. I know some of you are scared to death. It's terrifying. You ever heard a bullet rip past your head? I've heard plenty of them. And they ripped through my body. But you know what, though? That was the debt that I had to pay. So that you could sit down here and cry and complain about how you deserve to have all your loans paid off. Private loans now. I see it now. I've seen it all over Facebook, Twitter. We should pay off the private loans, too. Just get everybody out of debt. Okay. How about earning that money? We all know you can't get nobody to show up to work now. I mean, nobody shows up to work, folks. It's a mess. It's a train wreck. It's a disaster. And you guys need to fix it. Now, I got some friends out there that I know are going to be upset at me. They're going to be really, really upset at me because I'm telling it like it is. And I know, hey, look, I'm not against some of this stuff that y'all are preaching, but I'm just saying we got to make people have got to learn how to make a living. Seriously. Because when the sugar turns to crap, and this country bottoms out because we have milked it and milked it and milked it. And there ain't no greater milking that's been done to this country. And no greater lies have been told to this country than the lie that this is the Inflation Reduction Act. If you have an education above the level of second grade, I said third grade earlier, but by second grade, you've learned addition and subtraction. So you understand the difference between the money you put in and the money you take out. Ask any kid. I'm going to give you $5, but you owe me $6. Wait a minute. You gave me $5, but I got to give you $5 back, and then I got to go somewhere and find another dollar. That's right, honey. That's called inflation. You see, I gave you $5, but I want $6 back. Now, some people call that a loan. I call that loan sharking. But anyways, the point is this. You can't expect to drop trillions of dollars, freebie programs, just because your emotions are all worked up. I love to hear how some of these groups talk about fairness and freedom, taking care of each other. Oh, this is the favorite one. This is the favorite one. Where they talk about, you Christians are supposed to love us. We do. We do. Would you believe it if I told you that David didn't hate Goliath, but he still dropped him in that field because he was doing something stupid? Now, does that mean we're going to drop you? No. But that means we're going to tell you the truth. You see, the Bible tells us that the truth shall set you free. If you come to work every day and you don't brush your teeth or you don't comb your hair and you come in and you say, how do I look? Well, I'm like Abraham Lincoln, baby. I don't want to tell a lie. You look like crap. Your breath stinks. You need a bath. You need a shave. You need to clean up and you need to be somebody or at least act like you're somebody. But nowadays, if I'd say that, it would be, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a fascist. Take a bath, okay? Clean up. The Antifa guys, I'm telling you, just look at some of them, wearing them black hoodies and stuff. I mean, come on, guys and gals, seriously. When's the last time you changed the oil in that hair? I mean, I'm not even kidding you. I'm not making fun of you. I'm telling you the truth. Your mommy and your daddy should have been telling you that. And maybe you wouldn't be acting this way. You see, if you would have lived in the McCormick household, because most of you were young enough to be one of my kids. I got kids almost 30 years old now. So some of you are in that 24, that 21, that 20 to 23, however old you guys are. You're in your 20s, young 20s. Ask my kids today in their 20s what happens if they showed up at my house cutting a shine in this house. Just ask them. See, we had discipline. Number one, they wouldn't do it because they had respect, because they were taught respect. You know, it's a learned trait. Teach it, parents. It's not okay to let your kids at 8 or 9 years old experiment sexual thoughts of any kind, let alone sexual thoughts and discussions with adults. Are you crazy to let your kids do that? I mean, really, you're nuttier than a fruitcake if you let something like that happen. For me, I guess I've got to the point to where it's like, don't ask me for my opinion and expect me to lie to you just to make you feel good, woke generation, because somebody needs to tell you the truth. Your feelings are going to get hurt. There's going to be people that walk by and just don't like you just because the way you look, the way you smell, who you are, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. There is something you can do about it. Excuse me. You can act like a good person that you are opposing everyone else acts like. So you can be all forgiving. You can be all loving. If you think 1 minute that I could go to one of these hardcore Antifa clowns or ultra-right too, some of you clowns out there, trying to, you know, want to shut down the U.S. Constitution, burn down the government, all this other stuff. Wake up, clown. Wake up. Have you not seen what one United States Army infantry battalion can do? Have you lost your mind? Same thing with Antifa. Same thing with BLM. Same thing with any of these other groups out there that advocate for violence. January 6th, not everybody there was a terrorist. But those that went in and kicked in doors and busted windows and did stupid stuff, shoe fits, wear it, baby. It's not your house to go in and destroy. Part of that belongs to me, too. And I don't like having the windows in my house busted out. Period. I don't like to have fecal matter smeared in the offices. We got to pay to clean that up, Jack. You didn't do anything to advance anything except for a level of ignorance out of about however many there was, 50, however many there was that was involved in that. So to you too, I say, you're wrong. Now, get that out of you left side. Will you say that to your people? Will you call your own people down? No. Well, just a little bit different what happened in Portland. No, it wasn't. People died, man. Lots of people got hurt. Businesses had to shut down because of your clownery. Nobody wants to put up with that. And New York subway riders, I told you this last week. Men, where are you at? Now, I know, let me tell you, I know there's a group there called, I think it's called the Guardian Angels. Great group. Glad they're there. Glad they're there. But we need more of you. You know what? But about 4 years ago, me and my wife and kids, we all rode on that subway, and it was great. People were nice. Listen, I was in New York not long after 9/11, and the New Yorkers were some of the finest people you would ever meet. But something has happened to the clown. Let me tell you what's happened. You have an open border that's allowed the massive influx of fentanyl, heroin, everything else under the sun, cocaine, you name it, it's all there. You got people from all over the world who are now here walking the streets, doing what they want to do. Nobody's checking them, talking to them. It's just a wide open spaces, baby. And they're getting high on whatever some of this stuff is. There's one drug now, I can't even remember. I'm going to get Father Michael on here in just a second here. But I'm going to tell you, some drug now where they just walk around and throw themselves into moving cars, flaca, whatever it is. Kids are getting high on it, and they're dying from it. And they're dying because parents are not engaged, and those that are engaged that do bust their kids' hind ends when they need it generally get arrested because some clown, some person that's never raised a child before in their life wants to stick their nose in the business. And we're not talking about beating children. I don't advocate for that, not at all. If you have a problem with your temper and you can't properly discipline your child, I usually can do it by just raising my voice in this house. But if you can't properly discipline that child with love and understanding, then you have no business being a parent. That's just the way it is. Sorry. Again, the truth shall set you free, right? But you see all this going on in this country. You see hatred and violence. You see real bigotry. You know what the real bigotry is? Is the real bigotry is going against Christian Americans right now. Y'all a bunch of bigots against the Christians because we believe that life begins at conception. And because we believe that way, you want to jail us, imprison us. You want our churches to pay massive taxes. Okay, if that's the law of the land, the Christian churches would be the only ones that would follow it. You make that the law of the land, and we'll follow it because that's what we're supposed to do. Read it in our Bible. It'll tell you. We now have a minister of propaganda. Oh, I'm sorry. A minister of truth. I thought I was talking about Goebbels in Germany. But we have a minister of truth now. They call it something else now. Supposedly it's a group. It's one woman and she's as nutty as a fruitcake too. And I guess that's the common theme to get appointed to this new group of leadership. You have to be nuttier than a fruitcake. Serious. You don't think that you have to be? Go look at some of our health folks. Go look at our Surgeon General. Go look at all of our people out there. It's ridiculous. You know, it'd be different if you're getting the job because you qualify for it. But it's a whole lot different because you're getting the job because of what you have decided to call yourself today. Or how you've decided to change who you are. Or because of your social stance. It's wrong, folks. Look, I don't have anything against people, a monogamous relationship. I don't. Okay, I don't get in your bedroom and don't you get in mine. And that's worked just fine for a long time. You can go live with each other. You can marry each other. You can have a civil union together, whatever. But don't come to school teaching my kids that is something that's acceptable because in our faith, it is not. And the Jewish faith, too, It is not. You all know it. And there's a few rabbis out there that's and preachers out there that's preaching a doctrine that goes against God's holy word. You need to crack that Bible and start reading. Stop entertaining. Get you a Blog Talk Radio show if you want to entertain. Stop entertaining in churches, please. Go preach the word of God. We need it in this country. Teach people about compassion. Teach people about civility. Teach people about who Jesus Christ really was and what he did and what he stood for. Do you think that Jesus Christ would support 54-year-old men and 10-year-old little boys or little girls? Do you really think that? I believe that my Bible, which should be yours too, tells us that woe unto them that harms the hair on one of these little ones. It would be better for that man to have a millstone tied around his neck and to be cast into the ocean. So you just think about that when you're out there advocating a person that's running for office that supports that kind of garbage of pedophilia is now younger, whatever they called it. I have to look it up again because I'm trying to forget it. I'm trying to burn it out of my memory. Minor attracted person. Well, I'm not a pedophile. I'm a minor attracted person. That sounds so much better. And because I'm a minor attracted person, you have to accept me. You have to accept what I do. Because if I don't, you're a fascist. You're a bigot. You're a racist. You're a hater. All these things, folks. And this is going on. So let me play this real quick, because this is a great show here. And I'm going to put it up on my microphone here, because it is good.
Calvin Robinson is an Anglican.
Hold up. Hold on a sec. Calvin Robinson. See if y'all can hear this. Please, I hope you can.
Calvin Robinson is an Anglican deacon in the UK, one of the last seen people in that denomination. We're grateful to have him join us tonight. Mr. Robinson, thank you so much for coming on tonight. So minor attracted person, what do you make of that?
Tucker, let's not mince our words here. This is the greatest evil there is. What we're talking about is the normalization of pedophilia. That is all we're seeing here. You're right. They're reclaiming the words. They're taking over the language and defining it in a very clever way. Because once they say, these are not pedophiles, these are minor attractive people, they can say they're also vilified, as we heard there, persecuted. And then they'll say they are an oppressed minority group, and therefore they deserve to be a protected characteristic. And then also have paedophiles or pedophiles being protected under the law. And that's what they're after here. It's very, very dangerous. There's nothing more dangerous.
Well, that's right. And it's a tell. I mean, if you are with someone on the playground or at your kid's school who uses the phrase minor attracted persons, I think it's fair to call the police right away because you know what that person's intent is. Like, what else are they saying? They're excusing pedophilia.
Absolutely. There are three sides to this. So, of course, firstly, they take over the language, and that is so that they can break down the boundaries. And then thirdly, that's so they can break down family and society. And that's what this has always been about. You know, some of us have been warning about this for years and have been called conspiracy theorists. But there's a reason that there's the mantra, love is love. Because if love means love for anyone, there's no boundaries involved there. And then when we're talking in an age where someone could define their race, someone can define their gender, and someone can define their sex or any other immutable characteristics, why would they not be able to define their age? If you can say, I identify as a woman, what's to stop you saying, I identify as a 12-year-old girl? And if love is love, and you are identifying as a 12-year-old girl, what is to stop you from having a relationship with another 12-year-old girl, biological or non-biological? This is the problem we find ourselves in. This is why they're redefining the language. This is why they're breaking down the boundaries. It's wicked, it's evil, and we must do everything we can to stop it and protect our children.
It's amazing. Are you really an Anglican deacon?
Just about. The Church of England did not want me, but I'm still an Anglican just outside of the Church of England. There's a long, there's a big battle against wokeness going on.
Well, we're rooting for you. Thank you, Calvin Robinson. Thanks so much.
God bless.
Good to see you.
Calvin Robinson. Check it out, folks. Calvin Robinson, an Anglican priest who's putting it down like it really is. You know, here's the deal, folks. You change the language. You now all of a sudden say, doesn't matter what bathroom you use. Doesn't matter. That 54-year-old man now identifies as a 12-year-old girl. What stops them from going into that bathroom or going on that playground or going into a school or going into a store or wherever and picking up another 12-year-old girl? Wake up, America. Wake up. And you guys out there, you know who I'm talking to right now. You guys that have laid with this stuff and you're supporting this time, there's time to get back on the right side. There's time for you to really honor your commitment to the Constitution. You can just call for your own party to be decent and civil again. How about that? How about you get back to... I would love to go back to the days when we had FDR and JFK Democrats again. I really would. And the biggest argument would be, you know, making the jokes about Watergate or making the jokes about Lyndon B. Johnson or making the jokes about Harry Truman or Dwight Eisenhower. There was always respect. We don't have that anymore. What we have done is we have become the chickens. There's a lot more, you know, if all the chickens in a hen house would go shoulder to shoulder and use those beaks and those claws, they'd kill every fox that comes in the hen house. But they become lazy. They become fat. They become scared. And they become dinner. Don't become a chicken. My goodness. Well, I'm going to bring Father Mike on here because he's got another side of this. We played a lot of music, Father Mike. We put a lot of things out. You know, I apologize for the few times that my language slipped. I do apologize for that. I ask God to forgive me for that. But I'm just telling you, the last few days has been a relentless attack on decency, not just in America, but in the world. You hear it's in the UK, it's everywhere. What is going on, Father Michael? What is going on?
Yeah, I'd like to make a few comments before I share what has been an outrage to me this week. I appreciate you giving tribute to our veterans. It's like a month today since my surgery, which was probably brought about because of exposure to Agent Orange, and you really honored the veterans and their sacrifices. And we've gotten a lot so far away from what it means to lay our lives down for one another, to live sacrificially, stop being narcissistic, and serve one another. But it's interesting. I was in an ROTC meeting tonight on Zoom, and it's interesting with language. You know, we're talking about pedophilia, but really they're predators. And what has really outraged me is what's going on in the border or on the border, where not only are we seeing things like are happening in other parts of the world, sex trafficking with all these children. You know, the scripture tells us that we're supposed to snatch them out of the hand of the wicked. My wife and I fostered 40 children, adopted 5 out of real bad situations. And now we're hearing not only is there sex trafficking, they're selling these children for their organs to the highest bidder. How depraved and demonic can you become? And we look at what's happened at the border, with the drugs, the fentanyl. You know, my daughter died because of fentanyl. I mean, there is a war of invasion going on. You know, we've become so polarized in our country. You know, I voted on both sides, but, you know, I don't vote R. I don't vote D. I vote C. I vote my conscience. And I'm very concerned, and you mentioned it. You know, if you're doing something for me, if you're paying my bills, if you're doing this kind of stuff, well, that's great. But people don't vote their conscience. They just vote, you know, what's going to benefit them. It's unfortunate. Now, you know, there's such a thing in the Bible as the year of Jubilee and, you know, putting everybody back on the same track and so on and so forth. And we've seen great mercy take place, but not to just a few. If you're going to do something like that, it has to be done for everyone. You just can't say there's a special group here and, you know, I want their vote, so they're going to be privileged above the rest. But when we think about rescuing children and sex trafficking, and to think of how depraved these cartels are, you know, I don't know how we have to deal with them, but it's like no one's touching them. I mean, we're having 87,000 new IRS agents, but the Border Patrol, they're not being supported at all. And I don't know if you saw the situation, the scene last week or two, where the National Guard was there and they were holding back the people from coming in. It was like a fence. And the federal workers came in and they opened it and overrode the National Guard who were trying to protect their state. We've lost our minds. We really have, you know, common sense is not that common. And as I grow older and seek the Lord for wisdom, I teach philosophy and critical thinking. I'm a lover of wisdom. People have lost their minds. And I'm concerned, even with all that's going on, I believe people will still vote, those who do vote, for the stupid things. We just haven't come to our senses. You were going to say something.
Yeah, you know, when you talked about how to deal with the cartel, we should deal with them like we would any other terrorist organization. And send in the Army and the Marines and the Air Force and the Navy and take them out. You know, I mean, honestly, some of these guys are so wicked, so evil. And it would be I hate to advocate for warfare, Father Michael, but, you know, there comes a time when even the little shepherd boy had to go and man up and take that sling out there and take down Goliath. Now, this group, they're hurting children. There, and it's all true, exactly what you said. I watched that documentary, how disgusting that was, harvesting the organs of children. So they're murdering them. A pedophile comes in and says, oh, I'd like a little 12-year-old boy or a girl, you know, come out and live with me. You know, I mean, just ridiculous stuff. Things like that are 100% pure evil. We should be standing up for humanity and decency around the world, especially when it's happening right on the border of America. And we can see it. We know it's going on. You know, and that's so frustrating for me because it's like, you know, we fly 10,000 miles to go and take on an enemy when we just got to go down to Eagle Pass, Texas, and there's plenty down there. And I'm not talking about the people that are legitimately trying to get in the country because they're fleeing, because they're scared. I feel mercy for them. We should try to help them. What I'm talking about is that cartel that you're talking about that's armed to the teeth.
Right.
Stinger missiles, artillery, they have it all. The Mexican Army. Oh, yeah, the Mexican Army has fights with them, and they get defeated by the cartel. Over and over and over and over again. So it's, you know, Marines, Army,
what I don't understand,
whatever.
James, is why there is no moral outrage. How we could just allow these things to happen, and because they're not happening in our backyard, we can ignore them. I mean, when you think of children, and you use the verse about those who, you know, harm children, better a milestone be tied around their neck, and, you know, suffer the children to come unto me. I heard a special by this man, and he went to Haiti, and he was involved, you know, in this sex trafficking, but he was undercover. And he rescued two girls who are now his own children. And my heart, because like I said, my wife and I took children that were abused, children that were born with drugs in their body. And how can we stand by and let these evil people, you know, send a fentanyl, you know, exploit people and kill people, you know, by promising them they're going to give them passage and they drop dead in a truck. And I agree with you. That's where the warfare needs to be. We're being
invaded,
but they're evil. They have decimated police forces in some of these small towns. I mean, they're off the hinge. And then we have so much polarization with our own politicians. You know, I, when I teach critical thinking, we talk about you criticize or you confront the issue, not the person. All you're hearing, you know, many fascists and go back to another state. All we're hearing is vitriol and hatred, and it's polarizing. That's not leadership. That's not leadership at all. It's just trying to vie for power. But, I mean, how can you be insensitive? I mean, we know our senior leaders have not gone down to the border. They don't want to see it. Ignorance is bliss. But, I mean, when it comes to children, child abuse like this, God have mercy on us. How can he bless, you mentioned abortion, how can he bless our nation when we're so done murdering our children? You know, we saw that during the time of Moses. We saw that during the time of Herod. You know, anytime God's raising up a kingdom is a slaughter of children. And that's our depravity. And I have mercy and compassion. Look, I have counseled and heard people who have been involved in abortion in confessions. And there is God's forgiveness and God's mercy, but you got to recognize what you did. You got to repent and make reparation and be reconciled and do something productive that's life-filled. Now, I lost one of my professors from Harvard this last couple weeks, and he wrote a book on rights and responsibilities. And all we hear is rights, rights, rights. And as you were mentioning, and I have debated with some people, and they said how all of those riots were basically peaceful. Yeah, with people dying, billions and billions of dollars. Come on, are we that stupid? Have we lost our minds that we can't think straight and we don't know right and wrong? But I'm telling you, we have to do something about these cartels. We have to do something about the sex trafficking. And, you know, actually sending these children alone so you can murder them and to the highest bidder. And we know they do that in China. So rich guy in China, you know, is 5'8", needs a heart. And so there's a 30-year-old in the prison. So they kill him. I mean, this is godless. This is evil. And we should have moral outrage about it.
I agree 100%. Thing.
You know, personally, it's disheartening to listen to people that has to be people that I've known and I've had respect for many years support this kind of garbage. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't understand it, but you know, or they'll play it down. You know, it's easy to play something down when it's not your kids or not you going through it, you know. And I'll tell you what it is, Father Michael. It is an inability to have both humility and empathy. We've lost that ability.
Because they've become narcissistic and so self-absorbed that we can't see that other people have needs, and we've got to go to their defense because they're weak and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying when you could stand there and see something being done to someone who can't defend themselves, something's wrong with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you, you step into a whole different line of coward in my book, you know, when you
mm-hmm.
when you can walk away. And so here's what I'll just say, you know, I would rather die to walk away from something that I know that I have to address. If I was on a subway, and you know, we've been in these situations before in our lives. If I'm in a public place, you know, someone says something or does something or is going after somebody, I'm going to intervene. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to get in everybody's business, but if I see somebody trying to yank a kid and pull a kid into the car, you know,
both me
and that 110-pound German Shepherd of mine are going in that car with you. You know, and we might die, you know, but we're not going to not act.
I saw a situation similar to that when I was a young man. I don't remember how old I was, but these two people grabbed somebody, and, you know, this was down in the seashore of New Jersey, and that kind of abduction kind of stuff is taking place. I mean, we're seeing people get sucker punched. You know, something has been unleashed that's demonic, where
mm-hmm.
there's no regard, no civility, no respect. And when you keep on getting away with it, now, one of our distant acquaintances had somebody break into their house, this person's special forces background, and they killed them.
Mm-hmm.
And until some of these people see that we're not going to be preyed upon, that self-defense is a God-given right. No one's going to try to act like the Wild West and intimidate people. But I've gotten older, even though I've been involved in martial arts and boxing and stuff. I'm older. You feel more vulnerable. But if
mm-hmm.
you're going to hurt me and my wife, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
You know, but until we do that, you know, they want to take everyone's firearms away. Criminals are going to have them, and
mm-hmm.
and until they realize, hey, you know, you saw the 80-year-old man that shot the guy in the arm. This whole big group of guys came in their stretch, and he said, "Oh, he shot me in the arm." Yeah, he's lucky he didn't shoot him in the head. And
yeah.
It's terrible that we have to be at this place. But to say that, you know, we've talked about Jesus turning over the tables for righteousness' sake. But to say you're just to be passive and say, oh, come on in, take what you want, you have the right, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You know, but everybody's living in fear. Why has the sale of firearms gone up so much? Because people know that the police aren't going to get there. I mean, I've been in situations, especially on campus, you know, when there's an active shooter, by the time the police get there, people are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become unfortunate. It's not like you want to have the Wild West, but these people are out of control. You know, we were talking about these people who have gotten sucker punched. Now, those of us who have been trained in martial arts, you know, and I do that. When I'm walking, I have some students might be walking close to me. I'm very aware of my surroundings. I'll stop
mm-hmm.
and let them walk past me. You know, and it's unfortunate, but because of the depravity of humanity, you know, I've heard too many confessions. I know myself, okay? There's no utopia. There's no Pollyanna that's going to come to the United States or to the world. Without a savior, we're depraved. And it just breaks my heart, and I have concern. I have 7 grandchildren and 4 children alive. And it just breaks my heart, you know. Even I know when my wife travels or she's doing this or doing that, because there's no regard, no respect for the elderly. In the Bible, it says you're supposed to rise up, you know, in the presence of the elderly. Now you punch them out, or if they're in a walker, you knock them over. What is wrong with these people? They've had no upbringing. But I tell you something, and I say this sincerely, you reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. It might take a long time. And vengeance mine, said the Lord, not for me, but they think that they can come. We had a car stolen just a couple houses away. They found it in another city, all shut up, and it was in a gang situation. Of course, they come to a nicer neighborhood, steal a car. And I remember years ago, a boxer who was from the Bronx. Oh, if I see something, whatever I see, I can take. People who have no fear of God, no sense of the Ten Commandments, they're out of control. And here we have to coincide with them. And even these kids that get bullied in school, you know, parents are taking their kids out of school, charter school, home school, private school. You know, we're paying for all of these children and for all of this woke ideology. And I tell you, it's very difficult for me in a secular university to teach critical thinking to those who no longer believe in free speech, who no longer know how to acquire evidence and understand counterarguments. It is a real heavy responsibility that I know the Lord has given me. But we don't have rational thought anymore. We don't understand argumentation. It's all ad hominem. Call people names. We saw that in the vice presidential debate and in the presidential debate. We see it all the time. Our president now is called Republicans. You know, they're mini fascists, if that's even a terminology that you could understand. But we've really lost our civility. So therefore, James, we're no longer a civilization. What happened? And look, it was a terrible thing. What happened all the way back to Rodney King, George Floyd. This is terrible. This is wrong.
Terrible.
Okay, but two wrongs don't make a right. We learned that in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
So what has it done? I mean, I grew up, I'm a Vietnam vet. I grew up in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. All the rioting took place. Nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm.
In Baltimore, it took them so many years after the riots, after Dr. King. And now there was a nursing home going up, $16 million. They had been building it for 8 years. They burned it in a night or two. So these types of tactics are not working. They have failed. I think I told you I had a young lady in my class at Harvard, and she was waxing eloquently about the 60s. And so I stopped her and I said, excuse me. I said, how old are you? And she told me in her early 20s. I said, it was a failed experiment. I was there. You're romanticizing it. And look, we're still eating the fruit from that nonsense that took place. It didn't do anything societally. It didn't change anything for the better. And we haven't learned. We see the I was reading a statement the other day, and someone said, what we have learned from history is that we haven't learned from history. And I don't know why we're so unintelligent that we see these things happening, and then we put the same people into leadership. Is it because we want them to represent us and we're no better than them? Or do we want a higher standard? You mentioned Christian Castelli. And, you know, we really drilled him and asked him about his platform. And we need people. You know, we need to be a righteous nation. And I'm not talking about being puritanical. We all are sinners. We all make mistakes. But some of the people that pulled down the statues and stuff, you know, they act like crap don't stink, and that all these other people were sinners and there's no blind spots in their lives. And, you know, that's just not true.
You know what? That's the reason why you don't learn from history, because if history upsets you, then you just rip it out of the book. See, that's just the way they are. And we've become this, not we, but there's a group of people. And you know, and I'm just going to tell it like it is. It's they're all Democrats that's doing it, or they're all socialists. You know, there's the Communist Party of America, the Socialist Party of America, and the Democrat Party, and I can't tell the difference between the three anymore. I'll just be honest with you, and I hate to do that because I do know some fine people that are registered as Democrats that don't think that way and tell me that they just are trying to stay with it because they're trying to fix it, to bring it back. And I'm like, it's a lost cause. It is an absolute lost cause. You might as well become an independent. Leave that. If you don't believe in that wickedness, then how you can't be part of it, you know, and it's, you know, you'd be better off being independent, you know.
But because you're giving consent. But see, again, not knowing history, if we study the evils of socialism, if we study the evils of communism, crusades, there have been more murders from atheists in history. You know, I was listening to a radio program person the other day, very popular, and he was attacking this Christian. And I said to myself, it's obvious to me he's never read a book. You know, you know, when my class, we talk about truth, I said, now, you know, is the sun 93 million miles away? I mean, are there any objective truths? Is everything relative? You know, can we come to a, you know, or do you just, you know, when you're giving your closing argument as an attorney, say, well, I kind of feel intuitively the person's guilty. I don't have any evidence. We've got to get beyond the emotions and into reasoning and understanding the process of argumentation and syllogisms and premises and conclusions and things of that nature. We, you know, I don't want my students to think I'm trying to tell them what to think. I let them write about anything they want, but how to think, how to write critically, how to read critically, how to think critically, not just to be a critic or a cynic. That's not what we're after, but to be discerning and not just Kool-Aid or have the group think. You know, I've taught in some schools where they've been brainwashed in high school and they're monolithic. They all think the same.
Yeah.
And they'll you know, wrap their arms, you know, to their chest and basically look at me and say, don't confuse me with the facts. I have my mind made up. Like, they're so closed-minded, so narrow-minded. Now, some people are so open-minded that their brains have fallen out. You've got to come down on something or you value nothing. But I tell them, in a university, you're supposed to be open to all kinds of ideas. You still have to have judgment. You still have to weigh it. But don't put your hands on your ears and say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you. What are you afraid of? It's like the communist countries. You can't bring a Bible in because they're afraid of the truth. They're afraid it's going to undermine their lies. We've really gotten to a place. But then the depravity and the decadence of now stealing children or selling children for their organs, murdering children, you know, all this evil that's going on. I mean, we wonder why there are partial judgments. God have mercy on us. But I'm telling you, I don't know why our leadership is not cognizant of really what's happening. Our country, you know, kind of the fifth column, it's being destroyed from within.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I tell you, there's a couple of elected officials that I hear talking about a lot of this that we're talking about. And one of them, you know, he's obviously, you know, branded as a racist, a socialist, a bigot, all whatever, fascist. And one of them is Tom Cotton from Arkansas. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've sat down and met with Tom Cotton, you know, and you listen to what's put out on social media about him. You know, look, he served in the Army. He was a captain in the Army. He went to combat. He was also an officer at the 3rd Infantry, Old Guard, there at Arlington. You know, and the things that he's saying, I mean, he doesn't break from what he says. He sticks to his guns and his values. But the one thing you noticed when you went into his office and to Lindsey Graham's office, too, is they hire a lot of veterans in that office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you walk into that office, people are dressed appropriately, professionally. Compared to you walk into Nancy Pelosi's office, you walk into some of these other Ilhan Omar's office, it's a zoo. It's just unbelievable. You know, the way that people talk and the way that they greet you, if they even greet you when you walk in. You know, I don't know, maybe if they did a voter block on me, they'd see I'm an independent, and you'd think that they would think, well, we might want to try to get that vote. But they don't even try, man. They don't even try. They don't care. And the grunge look, you know, I'm not trying to get into people's, but seriously, there's, you know, God allowed us. Yeah.
But James, it says something about your own sense of worth and dignity. You know, to be a distinguished person, to be a professional, you know, if you don't have any sense of dignity, you know, you want to bring everybody down to your own level. You know, I mean, you know, we've seen soldiers who had no ability to adapt and they couldn't keep a clean. I mean, I had one guy in my first basic training. I mean, he had potatoes growing out of his ears. We had another guy. We had to give him a bath. And, you know, and in those days, you know, we took the wire brush. And I mean, because every time we had an inspection, because his shirt was dirty, because he smelled, we always got demerits. So, man, you know, if you're going to be involved in society, you know, have some sense of decency and, you know, some sense of, you know, hygiene that you're an adult and you're around other people. You know, look, I was poor. Poor has nothing to do with being dirty.
Yes,
you know, people think that you're poor, you're a thief. Has nothing to do with, you know, you're a thief or whatever like that. Because you're poor doesn't mean that you don't have the wherewithal to compete. I told you I'm going to write a book from the projects of Newark, New Jersey to the halls of Harvard. By the grace of Jesus Christ, my Savior. But my grandparents were on both sides immigrants. My grandfather, my Pacella side, bought a house, worked as a garbage man in Lower Manhattan. Then he worked in a factory, DuPont's, and, you know, bought a house. And so, you know, we're all four people coming and having opportunities, but do it right. You know, and now with all the shortages, even as far as teachers, police officers, and military not making our, you know, numbers for recruiting, what they're going to lower the standard. And you're going to get substandard. And, I mean, you hear about these people that are doing as little as they can on their jobs. Now, if you don't have a sense of personal pride that reflects on your character, you know, when I was 17, this is to the glory of God and to my parents, but one of my first fitness reports, it said he needs little or no supervision. I was 17. And I look at some of my students and they're 18, 19, 20, and they can't even get up and get on into class on time. Now, you know, we really have to do something, but there's been a breakdown in the family. There's been a breakdown in fatherhood and any kind of discipline or training. And, you know, the kind of workforce you have, I mean, no wonder some people can really outshine the others. And I know even in my son's job, You know, they wanted veterans because they know that we have a good work ethic. But God help us. But you wonder why, like I asked the question earlier, why there's no moral outrage. Have we become that indifferent? You know, even in my marriage counseling people, I would rather them yell and scream at each other, but once they're indifferent and they don't care, it's over. But this is what's happening to the so-called citizens of our country. They don't care. I mean, how many, what do we have, 40% that vote? And those, I don't know how informed they are. And when they look at the situations, they believe all this hype because all the money from the Soroses and all the money, you know, rather than let them come on TV, watch a debate, read up on something. And I think sometimes we get the leadership we deserve. I really do. It's unfortunate. You know, I'm not cynical, but I've been around for a while, and I just don't understand why people don't want safe streets, why they don't want something done about crime. You know, there's people breaking into places and stealing millions. What is that supposed to do? That's supposed to be reparation because you were treated improperly? No, that says something about your character that you have none.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I see bosses out there, you know, that are afraid. And I'll just, you know, just tell you that there are some people that are afraid to let people go or to tell them to go home and take a bath and then come back to work. And you know, there was no problem when I was growing up with that, as you know as well. And the worst thing that could happen to you is you lost your job. That was so embarrassing and demeaning and degrading. Nowadays.
Yeah. And now you go back and shoot them.
Yeah.
You know, that's where our society, that's where our society, and it has nothing to do with guns. It has to do with hatred, foolishness. But, you know, they come back, and, you know, we used to talk about going postal, and they're going to shoot everybody. You know, like that's going to make their life significant. We have a
right
problem, James. We really do. We really have to reach out. Only the gospel is strong enough to break this bondage. But it's a shame because it's true. You can't look cross-eyed. I find that with students. I've had them, you know, confront me or try to, you know, I go in my clerics. I said, like I told my soldiers in the Army, don't look at this cross and mistaken it for weakness.
That's right.
Fair. I'm kind. But I'm a man, and you're not going to intimidate me. If you don't do your work, you're not getting a grade. But I'll help you. I'll set you up for success. I'll get other people to help you. I'll do whatever I can. But when you lie or you think you can intimidate me into doing something, I mean, how can you have any pride that you didn't earn it? It was given to you. You didn't earn it. Now, we all have the grace of God. There are many things we didn't earn, especially our salvation. But there are certain things that you want to feel like I accomplished that. I did that. I worked hard. And I've achieved something. You have a sense of good pride when you've done that. You know, I go through my students' papers incrementally because I've had people write papers and write a little bit during the semester. And then all of a sudden they became a PhD at the end. They had somebody write it or they bought it somewhere. And I've caught students that have done that. You know, look, we all have sinned. We've all made mistakes. But if we're accepting mediocrity, now, you know, these people, they think they're doing something by not producing at work. They're doing something by just doing as little as possible. Does that make you feel good when you put your head down at night?
Yeah.
Something's wrong, characteristic. If we have the Holy Spirit, then God will convict us that he didn't make us to be mediocre.
Exactly right. We're supposed to be dynamic and brave, and we're supposed
excellent
to stand up, you know, and we're supposed to be loving and caring. You know, I mean, there's a way to be loving and caring without being weak. You know, it definitely
right
doesn't make you weak. So, I tell you, it just, it's been a, but now I'm really, you know, as we're, you know, and we're closing down on time, but, you know, I find it very interesting with what this cartel thing is doing. And, you know, some of this stuff is occurring just across the border, and some of it, you know, don't think that it's not occurring across the border because, you know, the cartels got across the border too. So it's like, for some reason, mm-hmm. we have just got ourselves lulled into this, you know, everything's okay. And, well, everything is not okay. You know, we got a serious problem.
And it's all for money. It's all for money. You know, the love of money, Jesus said, you know, brings about all kinds of evil. And what these people are selling their souls for money, building tunnels, killing other people. I mean, what's wrong with these Chinese people sending fentanyl? Are they nuts? You're going to kill people? See, it's a culture of death. St. John Paul II, the Pope from 1978 to 2005, it is a culture of death. And Jesus said, I've come to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. And why do people choose death rather than life? You know, I mean, with the cities, for instance, how can you tolerate? You know, I have a cousin who's a police officer in Chicago. How can you tolerate that and not want to have change? You can't have a quality of life. You have to be in fear of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go out. People have been there for you. You can't go out. You know, and you know, you have to have some kind of a persona, okay? I mean, I grew up in the projects. I grew up in a rough neighborhood. And, you know, you got to put your game face on. But it's unfortunate because I have people that will come up to me, and I'm uncertain what their intentions are. Most of the time it's to ask for money or something like that. But sometimes people just want to see if you're weak enough to be prey. And if they see a little resistance, like I said, that 80-year-old man, he saw them coming in. He's still working at his age. He had a heart attack after that situation. What kind of culture, what kind of society, what kind of country are we that we can tolerate that kind of stuff? That's why, James, I'm so excited about these Vets for Veterans, and I hope you'll get those books I sent tomorrow or maybe Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and you
so
know,
we can equip them.
The great thing about that, and then I'll just say this, is that as Father Michael has donated 25 books that we're going to give out to the candidates, the people that are running for office that have been, you know, that have earned the right to be called a certified Vets for Vet Leadership candidate. And, you know, we don't, as you know, Father Mike, we don't just give that out to anybody, and it's the process mm-hmm. is, you know, we hammer on people hard to make sure that, you know, we're doing, you know, we're with the right folks. And sometimes we're not. You know, sometimes we have to make the decision, well, you know, this isn't the right choice for us, or they can't sign, you know, the compact. But that book, talk a little bit about that book and why that is significant for these soon-to-be new leaders that's, you know, potentially are going to be on Capitol Hill.
Well, James, you and I know we've been around a lot of people, including yourself, that have valor, that have been brave, that have been awarded. But we have an issue with image and substance. A person looks the part. Jesus called it whitewashed sepulchers. But inside, they're just a mess. Their home life's a mess. Maybe their finances. They're maybe alcoholics. Maybe their sexual life. But they look the part. And so I felt with my time as an instructor in the Army, as a chaplain, working as a police chaplain, that I needed to make a transition. And so I called my book From Valor to Virtue. So you really have the goods. You don't just look like you have the goods. And then the subtitle is the moral development of the brave, because it takes developing. One of my chapters is called Swimming in Peanut Butter. It's a constant effort. And so we don't just want clouds without water. And I've used the illustration, you know, you go to a wedding. My baby daughter just had a beautiful wedding, my last child. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to go to the bathroom and you see these beautiful dispensers. But because the wedding's crowded, a lot of people have used it and no one refilled it. And all you get is air. It looks like something and you really need it to be what you need it to be. It's like, could be like a corrupt cop or someone that's involved in war crimes. I used to teach laws of war in the Army. And so it's really important that we have men of integrity. And what that means, we throw that word around in the Army, it means being integrated, being the same person you are when you're in the dark and only God can see you as you are in your public persona. Now, I'm not saying you don't let your hair down when you're home or whatever, but basically you've got to be consistent so that mm-hmm. when you're under fire and you have to make a decision, you don't cave in. You know, when you're lifting weights and you're putting that weight against you, well, when you're on a deployment, like you and I have both been for a long period of time, okay, and some woman, you know, wants to, you know, see what you're made of, if you haven't resisted consistently, you'll cave. I don't care what you believe or what you think. You got to practice. And this goes all the way back to Aristotle. It's habit internalization. And so, you know, I really challenge, you know, it's kind of a middle management. It's not really highly intellectual, but it will help people. There are good questions in it to really challenge themselves so that they, you know, can be not only the image of what they're supposed to be. I don't know if you ever saw the movie. It was with Al Pacino, I think back in 79. And it was called Injustice for All. And it comes out that the judge is corrupt. And Al Pacino was an attorney. And they're pulling him out of the courtroom. And he said to the judge repeatedly, you're supposed to stand for something. You're supposed to stand for something. I'm not saying we don't sin, but we have to be developed morally. We have to be developed intellectually. You know, in the Army, we called it total fitness. I was really physically fit, you know, lean and mean. But then you got to be professionally developed and good at your job. But you got to be morally and ethically fit. And President Clinton showed us, or you can sabotage all you've worked for. So if you don't work that intangible, sometimes because we don't see it, we don't think it's there. And so this book really challenges men and women to be all that they can be. When you and I went in the Army, that's what they told us. It wasn't this army of one stupidity. Be all that you can be. Excel. But not just mm-hmm. physically, not just psychologically, not just intellectually, but morally, spiritually, and ethically as well.
Very true. Very, very true, my friend. You have to excel, and you have to do more than just average. I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's, I don't know if this is a pacification of people or if it is a pansification of men, especially in America now that, you know, for some reason we've got away from, you know, from, you know, working to be more than just, you know, the average, you know, you want to just be the same person. I mean, it's that, you know, and again, I go back to that socialist mentality where everybody's the same on the same level. Mm-hmm. Nobody has more, nobody has less. So what's the reason in trying? If you don't have a way that you can excel and do well, what's the sense in even trying, you know?
Well, because, you know, God has given us all different talents, and we're given to God why we were lazy and buried our talent. We have a stewardship And if God has made you a 12-cylinder Jaguar, you better be using each of those, 12 cylinders. If you're a 4-cylinder, then reach your full potential. But you will be accountable. If you're lazy, and the person who buried his talent, the scripture calls him wicked lazy. If you're lazy and oh, I can get by, I can just get by. I used to have some really talented people. At one point, our worship team was so big, we had like 3 or 4 drummers, and they just would rest on their accolades. They would never push themselves to go any farther. And really, that is a waste of what God has given you. You know, I've had people say to me, Chaplain, when are you going to retire? I'm not going to. You work by the sweat of the brow until you return to the dust. I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot to do. And God gives me the strength, and he makes the provision. But some people, they want this panacea. They want this utopia. And you're accountable to God. What did you do with what I gave you? How did you help others? How did you enrich other people's lives? Did you utilize all the talents that I gave you to be a blessing to others and perhaps to provide for your family? So I think even a work ethic and you know, I think even in the military we see some slippage, you know, where, you know, it's coming, becoming kind of woke. And you really hurt yourself if you don't come up with a sense of having a sense of pride because you've developed yourself. You know, I'm not ashamed to say it took me 17 and a half years to finish my bachelor's degree. Then I went 3-year professional master's at Yale. I did a postgraduate master's at Harvard. Then I worked on a 2-year diploma before I started my PhD. And you are going to have to answer to God why you were too lazy, why you were afraid to take a risk, why you didn't become all that you could be. I went back in, as you know, not bragging, it's the grace of God, at 41 in the reserves, 43, and I went to Fort Bragg. And you know, we have to do things that scare us. And the Lord is not a crutch, as some people would say, but he strengthened our legs. And I've done things that, you know, would scare most people. I finished my PhD at 67 years old, but I finished. Not who starts the race, you know. And a lot of people, they begin to start to, you know, to commence to the begin. When the temple was finished, then the glory of God filled it. And I just think that, you know, we're just, you know, let's see, like the gentleman from Djibouti was telling us, they chew on this drug all day, and it's like you're anesthetized, and you have no goals. You have no goals. You know, I got my check, you know, not that I'm in a position to retire, but God has been faithful all these 46 years of my wife and I's marriage. But you got to have goals. Keep setting goals. Otherwise, you know, you're dead already. I had an uncle. He couldn't wait to retire in his 60s. He died shortly after. Forget your purpose. You forget your purpose. It's not just let me get that gold watch, you know, in those days. You know, let me get the whatever pension and I don't have to do anything. No, you'll have to do until you can say it is finished. You know, when this thing came on me, my wife and I knew it wasn't the end. Okay, but you know, I'm going to tell you it wasn't scary, but I know I'm not finished. I'm not ready to say it is finished yet. And I think we all have to say Jesus was able to do that in 33 years. But we have a lot to do and a lot to give. You know, when you talk about Woody and all that he did and all that he contributed, you know, late into his years, and we have a responsibility. And it's not like we're paying for our salvation, but we're giving back. Now, you talked earlier about, you know, a hand up, not a hand out. But, you know, my father was 100% veteran, and I went back in the military at a late date, even though I had gotten out when he died. because I was a sole surviving son. I'd been in a war zone, and it was a hardship. But then I went back in because I felt an obligation because they took care of us. And we have to have some sense of conscience and some sense of pride that, I worked. I did a full day of work, and I could put my head down and feel like I accomplished something. Now, I'm sure there's a little sloth and laziness in all of us, but when you think about the fact that you'll answer before God, I gave you all these gifts, I gave you all these opportunities, and you were too afraid to take a risk, and you were too lazy, to do what I had called you to do. We're all here for a purpose. And I was just talking to my bishop the other day, and I know there are some other things with training leaders. There are other things. I'm very grateful to be on the advisory board for Vets for Veterans and different things like that. But there are spheres I know that I have some expertise in, hone those things, and, leave a legacy. And I think we've lost a sense, even about our national legacy. We've lost the sense. It's all about, you mentioned President Kennedy, and I'll be frank with you, and people might be mad at me, but quite frankly, if you know anything about his life, he wasn't a heroic person. But what he did say is ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. But that is so far removed from the psyche of our country anymore. It's all, what can everybody do for me? I mean, even with the colleges, as an adjunct, we get paid very little. I have a PhD and two master's degrees. But it's overrated, and the prices that students are paying, and it keeps going up and going up and going up. It's overpriced. And, you like Mike Rowe. He has a
book
called How America Works. But some of these young guys that are working oil rigs, they're making hand over fist in trash. And these other people are getting a degree, and they're not making anything, and then they got to pay for it the rest of their lives. And there's got to be a sense of your calling. You look at your hands. What are these hands for? What is this mouth for? You do an excellent job on the radio. I've heard you on other interviews. God has gifted you in that way. But we have to do in a tireless way, not just, try to be comfortable. There's a lot of people suffering, and they really need empowerment. When I see students struggle, I know. I've been there. I want to try to help them. Does somebody help me? When I went to my college, I wrote to the president of the college and told him what Jesus did for me during the Vietnam War, and he gave me a chance. And I messed it up at first, and the Lord said, who's doing this, me or you? But I want to give people a chance. I want to help people who had no one else to mentor them or help them. But sometimes we've got to get out of ourselves. And, we hear a lot of these programs supposedly taking place in the inner city, but I don't want to be cynical, but it just seems like I wonder if that money is really getting to the programs. Or if people are pulling, like you've told us about some of the veterans groups.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling on the heartstrings, and it's really not going where it needs to.
Yeah. I mean, there's, that's why I tell everybody to go pull a 990, on somebody that has a 501c3. You can just look their company. That's not talking bad about them. That's just telling the truth about them. And, if you tell the truth on some people, I'm telling you, it'll make them mad. I got a cease and desist letter from mentioning that organization for just posting a picture of their 990. Now, there's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing illegal about that. And the day that that becomes illegal for us to be able to, to just post the plain facts, that's on government files and open for everybody, then, that's the day that we really have realized that we've lost America. I mean, you've lost your freedom. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
You should be able to, you have the freedom to criticize. You know, yeah, you should be right about
well,
it.
Well, to be accountable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even criticize. It's like be accountable. You know, there are some churches that don't show any of the financial reports. Okay?
Right.
And it's just like, look, I know I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm entrusting it to you. But you have a right to know.
You have a right to know. Absolutely.
Accountability. Because, listen, even with unharnessed capitalism, because of our sinful nature, even with our government checks and balances, we can't be trusted. We can't trust ourselves. Let's be truthful about our condition without Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability. You got to, you know, as we, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another, pray for one another, you know, that you'll be healed in those areas of weaknesses. We're obligated to go once a month as priests. So you got to come up front about that. And the priest has a seal. They're not going to tell anybody, okay? They're going to advise you, and they're going to, you know, make sure that you're accountable. It's not like you're just the one up there telling everybody about their sin without being cognizant of your own. And so we don't have accountability. You know, there's a lot of lying and deception and corruption. It's unfortunate. And we got to be prophetic in speaking, you know, to the powers. But I'm grateful that there are men and women that have the courage to run for office and to get into that ring, just like Teddy Roosevelt said, you know, with all the blood, sweat, and tears, because we need some righteous leadership.
Amen. No, I definitely agree with that. I know that we're down to the last 3 minutes. Why don't you close us out in prayer, Father Mike?
I will. Thank you, James. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, James and I have spoken about things in a prophetic way because we love our country, we love our families, we love our God. We are two sinners. We're not trying to get on some soapbox and tell everybody they're wrong and we're right. We need you, Lord. But our country is really going in the wrong direction. I pray that you would raise up godly leadership, not only in government, but in business, in church, in organizations, among veterans. Convict us of our sins. Help us to formulate our consciences so that we don't vote according to what's going to benefit us, but we vote according to what's going to offend you. Lord, I thank you for all of our audience. I thank you for James and for Rich and for everybody who's been faithful to this program. And I ask you to bless them and to bless our families. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. You know, folks, every Friday we're here from 10 p.m. to midnight. And, you know, we don't say things to just hurt people. We put out facts. We put out figures. And we put out, in a lot of ways, our opinions on things. And it may not always everyone's palate. You know, it may be unpalatable to some folks, but we have a lot of listeners, and I mean a lot, well over 100,000+ during the week that listen to this show. And most of the comments we get are very positive. What I'm saying to all of you that take the minute to say, great show, I want you to take an extra minute. I would rather you give that compliment, that energy for that compliment, and put that energy into doing something that's good for your country. And right now, the one organization that Father Michael and I have talked about, Vets for Vet Leadership, and you can go to Vets, V-E-T-S, number 4, vetleadership.org, and you can see what we're all about. We don't mince no words. You know, we are very focused on mission, just like when we were in the military. It's the same thing here. But we show you facts that the country was a lot better off when we had more veterans serving in office. And we need to get back to that again. So with that last final word and Father Michael's beautiful prayer, let me say good night. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, James. God bless you. Bye now.
Good night.